Welcome to the Becoming Me podcast.
The Becoming Me podcast provides a platform for moms to be authentic and truthful about their choices and experiences and celebrates all our unique stories. I have found that connecting and telling our stories allows us to relate with each other and to draw strength from the different experiences. It also reinforces that we're not alone through the highs and the lows of motherhood. So if you're a mom or a mom-to-be, then you're in the right place. Hello and welcome to our podcast. Today we have Karen here with us. Karen, we're so excited to have you. Welcome.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Really looking forward to having a chat to you. So we've got a little segment of ours that's called Three Random Questions. This is just to get to know you a little bit better. Can you tell us who you admire the most and why?
I think this is going to come as a surprise, but it's the first person that comes to mind. And I just have to actually say my mother-in-law, the first person to come to mind, because all the things that Kevin has told me, my husband has told me about her raising the kids and the family, you know, things about her life as well, make me see her as a great woman, a great mother, and of course, a really great grandmother.
Awesome. So just a second question there. Can you tell us what your favorite book is that you've read and why?
If I just quickly say Prisoner of Azkaban, Harry Potter, I love my Harry Potter books. I'm big on fantasy, sci-fi.
And lastly, if money wasn't an option, what would you do every day?
I think I would just say traveling. Like, traveling's my number one thing.
Well, thank you, Karen. That was our quick three random questions. So thanks for taking part. We're very excited to have Karen here with us today. Welcome, Karen.
Hi, Walia. Thanks for having me.
Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
My name is Karen. I live with my husband, Kevin, in Perth, and we've got two young children, Averly, who's 3 in April, and Leon, who's 4 months, 2 days ago.
Really excited to have a chat to you and find out a little bit more about your motherhood journey. I'll just jump into a few questions. Can you talk us through a little bit about getting pregnant for the first time?
It was a bit of a blur, so I'll try and remember the details. So to start off with, it's different for everyone. I think for me, it was all very structured. And then of course, there's the trying period, which is a good journey, but it can be stressful. You feel like you're under pressure. So I think I was left with a bit of disappointment longer than I thought. So I think having that added pressure I put on myself, to be honest, was a bit much. If I was to give anyone advice, don't put so much pressure on yourself. And when I did let go, honestly, it just happened. So with me, the journey was not as easy to get pregnant as I thought.
So you've been waiting to get pregnant for a little bit of time, and then you find out you're pregnant. Who do you tell first that you're pregnant?
First things first, like, you got to tell your husband. But then how? In my mind, I'd imagined like buying a bun roll and putting it in the oven and then waiting for him to say, dinner's ready. There's something in the oven. I'm going to be honest. I was that excited. Honestly, I peed on that stick and I ran out. I was like, oh my goodness. Yes, this is it. This is the one. I didn't even get that far to surprise him. I was so excited. And I think, Wally, you know, I've been wanting kids for a long time now. So I think even as a structured person, like, things don't always go your way. That just shows my excitement already.
So through your pregnancy, was it a difficult pregnancy the first time around or was it pretty easy?
I would say there are difficult parts at different points of the pregnancy. I think everyone's threshold for difficulty is different. So I would say, like, this is only as a first time mom. I just want the baby to be healthy, to be safe. The first trimester can be really tiring, you know, with work and you've got home things as well. So second trimester might be a little bit easier. Going into the third trimester, though, you're starting to get more tired, more lethargic. I think difficulty sleeping for me was very hard because I tried working right up to 2 weeks before she's born. But my obstetrician did tell me things also weren't going as planned. The question of possibly placenta previa. So that is when your placenta is lying a little bit low and you really want it to move out of the way so baby can come out of the cervical canal nice and easily. So again, I stopped work happily because by then I was like, I don't really want to do another day either. by the time it was getting closer, past that 6 weeks, I did find out that the placenta had moved. So now I'm starting to get a bit worried because on my next visit, I got told that unfortunately, the placenta had stopped working. So there is a time when the obstetrician will advise, okay, it's best to take her out a little bit earlier. We decided to still try everything natural. So that was great. Hearing that news was sad. So we planned for an induction and that was due for gestation of 38 weeks and 3 days she was born at, to be told that she was a low birth weight. That was a little bit scary.
You've talked us through going through pregnancy, and I'm just wondering if you can paint us a picture of what you're feeling throughout your pregnancy, starting from the beginning and then getting to this point where you're told that there could possibly be a problem. What's going through your mind? Like, just paint us a picture from the start.
You think parenthood starts when the child's born? Honestly, it doesn't. So you have all this excitement, you're ready to go, and then halfway through, if everything goes fine, that's great. You can be excited and happy the whole way through, right up until the end. But for me, the worry started mid-pregnancy. So I have not stopped worrying since then. Like, honestly, the worry is a care for your child, coming from a good place, I think.
You know, you're thinking about possibilities. You're thinking what might or might not happen. What did you do to sort of keep that positive mindset despite everything that was going on?
I think the reassurance came from my obstetrician, of course, gives you that medical expertise. So that's really good if you go to your appointments quite a lot. But also, as much as I didn't want to, I think I was Googling a whole lot. You just can't help, like, honestly, Googling all these questions about what if. But honestly, if I'm going to give any advice, it would be to jump on Facebook, go on your local group. So I'm from Perth. This would be the Perth Mums group. You've also got a second group. That is the month when your baby is due. Not only do you have an area that is local, but there's also one specific for the babies born on or around that month that you can share similar experiences going through that time. So it's a more private, closed off group, unique to your time.
That's good advice. You've brought us up until your induction. Can you please just share with us your experience of childbirth?
I was very lucky to have Averly in a private hospital. My husband wasn't really too far away. They do give you a few options of how you want to be induced. So with me, it was with a balloon. The next morning was an actual chemical induction with the hormone. You know, you go in at 7 p.m., a bit uncomfortable throughout the night. I didn't realize that this discomfort was probably labor. Being uncomfortable and anticipating that, okay, the baby's coming out tomorrow, because at the time you're almost like waiting for the baby to come out. So I'm dreaming that I'm having this period pain, and then I suddenly wake up and I realize I'm not on my period, fully become awake, sit up, and it's like the movies. There's water everywhere. And one night nurse comes in and she did see, and she's like, probably don't need to do that test anymore. I think that's your water break, and let's get you ready for the birthing suite. So as I was making my way over there, I feel that these cramps are just ramping up really bad. Probably 10 meters to the birthing suite, lie down. She gets me ready in her own time. For me, I was thinking she's going too slow. To be honest, in her experience, you know, yeah, labor first time probably lasts for 12 hours or something like that. And in the meanwhile, my husband's not there. She was talking to me and I couldn't actually hear her. So I believe she said, should I call your husband for you? And I think I nodded. But when he did come in, I couldn't open my eyes at this point. I think I felt his hand on my arm. Maybe it was close to even 7 o'clock. So the anaesthetist wasn't there. My obstetrician was there. My midwife wasn't there. She's trying to contact all three of them. And I was halfway passed out. My husband was panicking. Where's everyone?
How long has this been?
In my mind, I'm feeling like this is hours, but honestly, when I look at, I've actually looked at my patient records, this is anywhere from 5 a.m. to not even reaching 7 a.m. What I've been told was I did not get a break between contractions. I was hard and fast and they were just going nonstop. The pain relief I got was gas, but I also was using that wrong. So please use the gas correctly. There is a proper way. By then, my husband was there. I think it was just coming to past 8 o'clock, and that's when everyone came. My midwife first came, and I heard her say, "I think I see a head coming." She was trying to speak to Kevin about it, and all this time I couldn't really hear properly. It was just so much in pain. She was just saying, "Karen, do you feel ready to push?" And I think I was nodding at that time. You just have this urge to really just go for it. And in my mind, I was like, what is happening? What's happening? So she came out at 8:44. So not long after my obstetrician walked in, the anaesthetist walked in, him saying, "Oh, looks like I don't need to do an epidural." And I was like thinking, yeah, a little bit too late there. So she came out happy and healthy. By calculation, I only had a 36-minute labor. Lots of people were saying, "Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That must be so good. You want breaks." Like labor is, it is labor. By the time it came to pushing, I almost felt like you just have to, because babies don't come out by themselves. In the end, I was told that I pushed longer than I labored. But at the end, it was the biggest relief. Honestly, it felt like my stomach just deflated. It was great. If you get a chance where they do pop your baby on your chest, that is the best feeling in the world.
So you've got your baby now after 36 minutes of labor, which you weren't expecting, it sounds like. Did you have a name for her already?
So her name is Averly. It's actually a combination of Ava, which was on the list, and the last part, Averly the suburb, popped into my mind. And I just said to Kevin, like, this is such a pretty name. I actually liked Ava, but let's just change the spelling a little bit so she's not named after a suburb. Like, as soon as you look at your baby, it's almost like they're born with a name. So for me, like, I really had to look at her, be with her before we decided on that name.
When you're in hospital for about 5 days. What things did you find helpful that you took with you into the hospital suite?
I think I took everything that I was meant to take. I didn't pack too much. I didn't pack too little. It actually really helps to go search on the Facebook mums group, because these are real mums. They've already had their pregnancy. So it really helps with speaking to someone about that. Probably want to take a few snacks with you, maybe a good book, some heating pads to help with the pain, bring some maternity pads. But I thought, you know, I'm going to take that extra step and just go with the underwear that you wear for incontinence. I packed those, and gosh, I just used that. The hospital that I went to, the private one, they really provided. They gave nappies, the wipes, bathing things. You've got bottle brush. You've got basin to help you wash bottles. They give you milk, syringes to help collect your colostrum, pumps as well, free of use. So excellent for first time mum.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. And I think it's really important for mums listening, mums to be especially, to do a bit of research and just find out where you're going and what they offer, because this would differ depending on which hospital or which country you're actually in. Yeah. So it's important to just look into those things and just find out.
I would say, like, yeah, even a simple phone call to that hospital. And if you get a chance, jumping on that local Facebook group, "I'm going to this hospital. Has anyone been there? What was it like? Your experience? How many days you stayed for?" Some are out within a few hours. It's really different. Like, some mums are packing a lot of things for their baby, like clothes and nappies. They taught us how to wrap the baby. They also provided wraps. You can get very panicky. It's almost like as soon as the baby's born, they depend on you and feel like you're doing everything on your own, and not having the things in front of you there and then you need, you can get very stressed. Does not help with milk flow. Being able to have maybe a lactation consultant on hand, like they even had that. And I was like surprised that there was, you know, someone like that in the hospital.
Yes, it sounds like the facility that you went to was quite well equipped to help you on your journey. We'll just move on now to parenting a newborn. You've had your beautiful baby, Averly, and you're taking her home. How are you doing the first few days? Are you feeling you've got this, prepared? What's going through your mind?
From when they're newborn to approximately maybe 3 or 4 months, they kind of sleep well. If they are a good sleeper, they just need to be changed, fed, and then they sleep. So I was honestly lulled into this false sense of, yeah, this baby sleeps great and I can actually do stuff. But after the 4-month regression, like, that's just a huge wake-up call. So I would say like the tolerance for being a first and second time mum is you can probably get away up to 6 weeks of very minimal sleep. And I'm talking, especially if you're breastfeeding, like 1 to 2 hours sleep. And although you feel like you can't manage it anymore, it's still almost manageable within 6 weeks mark. But I honestly, for both babies, I crashed after 6 weeks. If you can get that someone to help you, whether it be your mum-in-law, your sister, brother, husband, to take that turn with your newborn, and you really don't want to let them go, especially first-time mum, you want that newborn all to yourself. But after 6 weeks, don't push yourself any further, because you can have accidents, can be a bit dangerous looking after newborn with that little sleep. So with me, I pushed it over the 6 weeks and I really crashed. That was my testing boundary point with having a newborn and struggling with the balance with my partner as well. So especially I'm really talking about your partner here, but if you really can get their assistance and help you out so you can get some rest, just take it.
Speaking of parenting newborns, can you tell us a time when you had no idea what you were doing, especially in the beginning?
I'm still feeling like I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, and you do feel like you're comparing, you know, with other moms. But, you know, it's hard to say not to, but don't, because you are probably doing the right thing by your kids. When it comes to safety, our health conditions, those are the really things I question myself, because I'm like, you're not the expert. Postpartum, they give you a phone number where you can call them 24/7. And this is hospital direct. I did make that phone call in the middle of the night, you know, at 2 a.m. So they were there. But having that support is great. When they're crying nonstop, that's the most stressful time. Oh, have I hurt them? Have I done something wrong? Are they hungry? Are they not hungry? Did I hit their tummy or something? First time mom, it can really scare you. I think just having that reassurance is really good.
Really critical. Definitely. And also, Karen, you've talked about a few of the challenges that you've faced through being a new mom. What has been your greatest joy being a mom?
My son has been smiling for a couple of weeks now, and just seeing him smile every time is, it's just so rewarding. And then with my daughter, she's almost 3 now. She's talking more now and in sentences and having actual conversations with us. It's so interesting to see what she says, but she's learning more things and just seeing her grow that fast and then being able to enjoy a newborn at the same time, that is honestly really good, because the best of both worlds.
So how has motherhood shaped you?
I think it has really tested my patience. That's all I'm going to say. And in a way, you still have your you time and you share that time with your partner, and then kids come along. I feel like as a mom, I'm naturally putting them first in everything. You know, you feed them first, you bathe them first, like everything, you're a little bit behind, but you know, you kind of accept that. So I think motherhood, that's really what it is it's being a mother first and you second.
When you think about your kids, what do you hope for them for their future?
At the moment, it's really easy to see that with my daughter, because I can sort of just let her explore and just see what she likes. After letting her explore so many things, that's what I hope for her, that she just really goes for things and tries new things. I don't have any expectations for her now or in the future. Just, yeah, definitely letting her be a kid, really.
Now, that's beautiful. Through our talk, we've talked about your experience being a mom for both Avery and Leon, as well as a little bit about your mother-in-law and your mom possibly. Yeah. Looking at your experiences, what do you think motherhood really means to you?
I feel like my job is to raise them, for them to be independent. You want to care for them. You want to make sure that they're safe all the time. I feel like that I should step back at some times and let them, you know, make that mistake, let them experience what they should to grow. You know, you want to protect them. And yeah, sure, I do. I want to protect them. They're like, they're my kids and they're so young. You can look at it differently. Like, for example, they might drown in the ocean. You know, you're like, oh, I don't want them to go swimming ever. I will keep them in the house forever. And you don't give them lessons. You don't do that. That is in a way endangering themselves, but you want to empower themselves to be able to do it. You're not always going to be there. That's how I like to think. Like, I don't know if I'm always going to be around. Take that step back a little bit to let them be everything that they can be. So yeah, you might be scared that going to the ocean, going to the pool. So what? See, give them lessons, give them swimming lessons. They can swim for themselves, you know. If they have an interest in cooking, teach them cooking, you know, like so that they can cook for themselves. Let them be everything they can be.
Beautiful. Is there anything else that you'd like to give in terms of advice to moms or moms to be out there?
In the beginning, postpartum, like after 6 weeks, again, talking about the hospital again, they do offer mums groups. So the hospital did offer a mum group. If you have a child health nurse, they also offer mums group there. So there are a few choices. Don't take that pressure upon yourself to go out and socialize so early on in having a newborn. So 6 weeks is still really early. Like, don't feel pressured that you get this invite. You get people telling you, oh, go to mum's group. Like, it's so great. Like, everyone else is the same age. Don't listen to anyone except yourself if you're comfortable, like, honestly, because it's so early on, you know, you might be tired as well. But if you feel that that's right for you and you want to go, then yeah, there's so many positives, there's so many great things. But at the same time, if you don't want to go, you don't feel like you're up for it, there are plenty other ways to make good friendships with mums of similar ages. Like, I have met a good friend randomly just by taking my daughter shortly after COVID happened to a play center. So bumping into another mum, and they just happened to be for a week apart in ages, and I never planned to meet her. But from there, I met a good friend now, and Averly has a friend now. So you'll meet mums in unlikely places as well, different situations, and there's other ways besides from mum's group that you can really, yeah, make good, long-lasting, like, strong friendships. So don't feel that pressure. That's one thing from my experience.
That's really great advice, Karen. It's been so lovely hearing your story, your journey, having Averly and Leon. And I'm sure a lot of people listening in will learn one or two things from you. So thank you. And we look forward to having you on maybe again another time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Becoming Me podcast. I've been your host, Bualia. Look out for a new episode every Monday where we talk to another mom regarding their motherhood journey. Please share the podcast, and if you'd like to chat on anything regarding motherhood, please reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.